Good morning. It's good to see each and every one of you, as we've already said, and it's a humbling thing for me to stand before you again. This is only the second time up here, and I do desire your prayers, constant prayers, because different from last time, myself entering into the second time up here speaking, I feel completely different than I did the first time, and I always need your prayers, but I especially need them now. The first time, the only experience I had to go off of speaking in the pulpit, the night before I felt like I had a sermon ready to come out of me already, and I was ready to speak and, just waiting to get up here. But this morning, I have just as much excitement to stand before you and just as much joy in being here standing before you, but the way that I feel and the way that my thoughts have been and the experiences that I've had over the past few weeks leading up to this moment to speak before you have been somewhat different, somewhat challenging. So I just desire your prayers, and the Lord will hopefully deliver a message through me, and just continue to pray. And I may be all over the place this morning, and that's okay. That just means you have to pay more attention. So just continue to pray for me and the message this morning. Like I said, there have been many things that have happened in life leading up to now, and things in the life of friends and family, and trials and tribulations, and things in our country, and things that each and every one of us deal with, each person deals with, because the affliction in this life and the turmoil and the trials, they never end. They never cease to come. And there's peaks and valleys, and we're cold and hot until that day when we are in glory. Yeah. And so throughout our time on this earth, there will be trials. And that's what I want to speak on this morning, because from every perspective you look at, there are going to be trials in this life. We live in a country which is on the verge, it seems to be, of facing many trials. And it is right now, especially as Christians in this country. So from a big picture that way, from a big picture as Christians as a whole, there are many trials and persecutions throughout the world that we in America are so blessed to not, we're kind of sheltered to see. And we're starting to feel just the very tip of it right now, it seems, as things are changing in this country. But throughout the world, in Asia and China, Christians are persecuted. And that's another trial and another big picture way of seeing it. And then when you start to break it down further, churches have trials. And communities have trials as Christians. And then you come down even further and you have outward trials of the people that you come in contact with and the temptations you face and having to defend your faith and live in a way that's pleasing to God. You will be tried. And then you have inward trials within yourself, within the day-to-day of when you have to answer to yourself and your faith be real within you and know what you believe and know what is strong and know what the Word teaches, where you can stand up and you can reassure and you can be okay and you can get through, because there are trials on every level and it's never going to cease. So I hope to look at a few of those things this morning, and hopefully we'll leave here encouraged to know that there is a reason and there is something worth getting through those trials for, and there is a Savior who delivers us. So if you will, if you have your Bibles with you, open up to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Now, I'm going to be jumping around a couple different places, and I want to look at a couple different passages together. And to see the first parts of those, before we move on, I want to look at the beginnings of a couple different passages, and then we'll read further down in both of them. But 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." Now I want to pause right there and stop And those of you who have been here on Wednesday night or last Wednesday night, you know, we've been studying about Elijah. And last time we read about the way that he felt about, we basically said that he felt like he was having a pity party for himself because of the way that things had been going. And so often, aren't we that way? Aren't we that way to think that this thing that's hindering me, this thing that's bothering me, it's what our flesh says, it's what our human nature does to us. It says that this thing, that these worldly things around us, these are all, we get so caught up in our vision to only see the things around us. To say that this thing that's pressing on me, this trial, this fiery trial which is concerning me is way too much than I can handle. Or it's so much, nobody knows what I'm going through right now. Nobody can relate to me. Nobody's been through this before. This is too hard. And do we want to just give up? I mean, what does our flesh want to do? Our flesh wants to be, it's weak. It wants to trust in ourselves. And in ourselves, we're going to fail. Every time. We will fail if we trust in ourselves. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. And I believe that verse tells us that we're not the only ones who have faced this turmoil. And we're not the only ones going through the things that are happening to us, and that the world, with its problems and with its fallen state, can weigh heavily upon us. But think it not strange. Don't think that this is too much. Don't think that this is not what we go through. Okay, so I just want to pause right there, and we'll finish the rest of that passage, but flip to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. I just want to stop right there, just like I did in the other verse. Troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. I think we're being described here things that each and every one of us face. Walking each day, trying to take up our cross each day as a follower of Christ. We see trouble on every side. And we're perplexed and persecuted. And Christians as a whole are persecuted. I read about some Christians in Asia that where some 20,000 Christians, they were taking their kids out of schools. And then beyond that, they were where fishing was their number one source of income. They weren't allowing them to enter into the harbor to fish. So they're taking their kids out of school and then they're taking away their income. And it just blows my mind to think about the way that this country's perspective is a lot of times, and the way that we in America as Christians and within the culture that we have see our faith. And how weak is it that we can't stand when somebody just calls us out or speaks down at us for our faith or wants us to not stand for something that is clearly taught in Scripture that our country needs to be doing, and when we stand, the second we stand, it gets talked down upon. Now, how weak are we to cower in those situations as Christians when in Asia they're going to take away every source of income that they can have and take their kids out of school, yet they'll still stand for their faith? There's going to be trials, and there are going to be situations, and there are going to be temptations and afflictions throughout this life. The wage of sin is death. I mean, that Adam fell and now we inherited a sin nature, and this world is fallen, and there's not anything within ourselves that we're going to be able to do to stop that, to change it. Within ourselves, there's nothing we can do to bear that load. But now I want to get to the second part of those passages. And throughout that one, we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Amen. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. That tells me that I have somebody that allows me to have the yet not distressed, or but not in despair. I have a Savior who can take that upon Him, who will give me the strength to carry on through these trials, who will give the Christians in this country the strength to carry on through the persecution and affliction in the days to come. We have a Savior that's big enough to handle it all. And His perfection is enough, and His grace is enough, and He is victorious, and what He did on the cross was successful. Now, there's so many, and Brother Matt and I were talking about it when we were at his house, how things have been twisted in the perspective of many concerning the power of Christ, and in the way that many today will say that He has His working, and God has His working in every aspect of our lives, and that everything we do was for a reason. But when it comes to salvation, that He isn't working in that to the fullest extent, that it has to be us, that we're out of control on this hand, that He has His hand on us, and He's manipulating everything the way that it's supposed to be, just like a game, or just like something that was already written out. Yet He's in eternity. The eternal perspective, the eternal salvation, He doesn't work His way in that all the way. I think we need to switch those two around. I know that we do from the Scripture. I know that there are many things that happen in this life that we make the wrong decision because we're human. And that thing happening, that wrong decision on our behalf, praise God that He still blesses us nonetheless as we carry on and seek after Him. That's not the end of the road, that He can still look up, that He still carries on with us, that He's still there being faithful. Praise God for that. But He is not the one causing the wrong decision for you to take that path. But praise Him. He's such a Savior that He loves you anyway, and He still will bless you. And on the other hand, something so great as eternity, something so wonderful as heaven, such a gift to think that eternal heaven and then being cast in the lake of fire for eternity, because this time, our time on earth, the world, time is but an empty vapor. It's just a blip on the radar, the time that we will spend in this life. How much greater is eternity and Christ's love for you than the small moments that we will spend here? Now, how much more should He work in that for His purpose for you? His sacrifice on the cross was perfect. And to discount that by giving us more of a hand in it, by saying that, you know, Jesus, He died on the cross and He's knocking at the door and you need to answer. And that happens over here. That happens in our lives. And He's working within us, and He's giving us, and He's showing us, and He's that still small voice, and we're to obey, and we're to walk in a way that's pleasing. But over here on the eternal side, Jesus knocks down the door and He apprehends His children, all of them, all that the Father gives Him. All that the Father gives Him will come to Him. Not one ounce of blood, not one bit of His suffering, of His trials, of His persecution, while here on earth, walking as the perfect sacrifice, not an ounce of that is discounted, because there's not one that He loves that will suffer for eternity. not one. He's the perfect sacrifice. He is the ultimate Savior. There's nothing more that anybody will ever go through than Christ did for you. And to discount that by saying he can't take the ones that he loves and pluck them out and put a new creature inside them, and to say that, you know, he loves somebody, yet their choices are going to make them spend eternity in hell, and that's going to, he's going to have to bear that for eternity because one that he loves is gone and he can't reach them. That's not the Savior of the Bible. That's not the one that I love, that's so perfect that each one that he loves, he's going to have, because he's that powerful and he's that perfect. And that Jesus Christ, the reason that we are here, the reason that we do everything, the reason that we are not troubled, that we're not distressed, that we're not in despair, the reason that we know that these trials that come our way are just for a short time and we have somebody that can get us through them. We have somebody to cling to. We have a hiding place. All the ways that Jesus are described in the Bible for us within these times are amazing. He's our Father. He will protect us. We just cling to him. You know, he will not give us anything that we can't handle because we have him, and because he's such a big Savior and he's so strong. And he's so amazing. And his grace is so amazing. Because it's not of anything that we've done. It's not of any of our works that we are able to have such an amazing Savior. It's all because of him. And to think that works-based righteousness is your ticket into heaven. When you start stacking up good deeds, and you start stacking them up and you think that I've done a good job, stack it up next to perfection, and it'll fall short every time. I'm going to trust in perfection. I'm going to trust in the one who will apprehend me and take care of me, because he is the reason that we are able to withstand such affliction. Verse 17 within the same chapter, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Stack up your good deeds. The things that you can see, they're temporal. But the things you cannot see are eternal. His perfection and the weight of his glory. To understand what we are, to understand what we deserve in hell, to study about hell and see the eternal separation, to know that every gift is from God and that we will be eternally, could be eternally separated, that is what we deserve by what we've done. Feel that weight of his glory, that he saved you from that, that he is with you, even though our light affliction here is but for a moment. He is still with us within this moment. If he never blessed us again, we should still shout praises to him forever more than we even do now, because that's who he is and that's what he's done for us. But yet he's still with us, praise God, that he walks each day with us, that no trial is too big for us because he handles it. That is the weight of his glory, his glory. To understand what we deserve and to understand the suffering and to go through the trial. And leading up to this message and this morning, I was in a valley and I was in a cold spell. And, you know, as I'm maturing as a Christian and I'm learning more and more, I'm learning how to get out of those quicker and I'm learning how to handle those better. And I'm learning that, you know, when you're in the valley and you're cold, that you don't give up, that you keep praying and you pray more. And you trust, and even though you may feel empty and you may feel like your prayers aren't going up, the weight of his glory is there. You know, we still have that Savior. We still have that rock. And despite whatever's going on around you, you know that he's still there. And, you know, I was in that valley and had been in that valley for weeks, and, you know, just things come at you. And I felt troubled on every side, you know, but I trusted and tried not to be distressed, you know. And many of you are the same. All of you are the same. We all face things, and we all go through trials and peaks and valleys. And coming into this message, you know, I was in a valley, you know, and praise God that withstood it. You know, you come out of it. And, you know, many of you may be in a valley now in a cold spell, and just praise Him. Just praise Him. Just count your blessings. Just endure. Take up your cross daily. Don't cower down to the things that surround you, whether it be your job, whether it be losing a loved one, whether it be sickness of yourself. Trials and tribulations are always going to be here. It's always going to be present. We live in a fallen world. We've inherited a sin nature, but we have a hope. We have a hope. And we'll turn back to 1 Peter chapter 4 and finish that passage from before. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Exceeding joy. We're to rejoice in these strange trials. We're to rejoice because we're suffering for Christ's sake. To walk in a way that's pleasing to Him is to walk in a way that's strange to the world. And Christ came and walked in this world, and He was able, He turned it upside down because He was perfection. Because He was the opposite of the nature of everyone, of a fallen race, of a fallen humanity. He was the opposite. His perfection triggered persecution. His righteousness triggered trials and persecution. Now, we're never going to reach perfection in this life as we walk, but the closer that we look to it and the better it gets, the more trials we're going to face. Because it's parallel to what Christ did. The closer we look to Him, the more we're going to face. So rejoice in that. Rejoice that we have a Savior that did it. Rejoice that you're suffering with Him for His sake. That you're being a Christian, a follower of Christ. Many today throw around the term Christian so lightly. Just somebody who believes. Follower of Christ. Follow after Him. Be obedient. And then rejoice when the world throws what it has to throw at you, because it cannot conquer you. It cannot take you over. It cannot do more to you. It can't take the persecution that they're facing in Asia and China can't take away their joy, because they're followers of Christ, because they're suffering for His sake, because they're looking more like Him and less like the world. So rejoice and stay strong. Rejoice and stay strong, because the wickedness in this world is never going to outweigh God. The weight of His glory is never going to be too much. It's never going to be too much that man is just so bad that God just can't handle it anymore. That will never happen. And we have to keep in mind that this time, our time in the world is but a vapor. It's short, and we might not see the fruits of our labor. We might not get to get out of the trial that we're in. We could lose our life over the trial that we're in, and if we're those people in Asia, or even here, if the things that the way it's going, we could lose our lives. We could keep walking through the trial and pass away and never get to see the end of it, never get to see the end of the persecution or the wickedness of man. However, rejoice. Still rejoice, because you're suffering for Christ's sake. Because you're walking after Him. Keep an eternal perspective, and it's so important to do in every aspect of our lives, to keep an eternal perspective. So many today are living for the temporary. They're living for just what they can get their hands on right now, whether it be a young person, and you can relate to this, and somebody that's just wanting to get their hands on something for the night, for one night, or for a weekend. Right? They're living for the weekend. because they want to get there and that's where they feel that they can find their fulfillment. Or people who are living and trying to hoard up as much money as they can. Or, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that in itself, you know, with money or, you know, with good times with friends. But if we keep an eternal perspective, then we can do it the right way. If we're living for those things, if that's all we care about, if that's all we seek after, or if we're just in for the temporary fun of that weekend or that night, you're going to be let down. Over and over again, it's never going to fail. Because you will just always be let down, because temporary, it doesn't last. The things that we can get our hands on, the things that we can see, they're not going to last. We just read that. The things that are unseen are eternal. We keep that eternal perspective. And I like how it says, you know, surrounded on every side. Well, as Christians, we aren't to be looking around, worried at the things around us. We're to look up, walking away, looking up, and let Him reflect down the way that you're supposed to interpret this around us. Okay? So just keep that eternal perspective, because even though the trials may not cease, because we're in a fallen world, rejoice in as much as you're partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. At the end of the chapter it says, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to Him in well-doing unto a faithful Creator. He is a faithful Creator, amen. He never leaves us. He never forsakes us. It's never going to be more than He can handle. It will remain faithful. If you will, turn back to chapter 3. And you may be thinking, brother said amen to what Christ has done for me, but how do I handle it right now? How do I get through it? I know what He's done for me, and it's magnificent, but I'm having trouble rejoicing because it's so hard on me right now. Because that's how it is, because our flesh is weak. But 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Sanctify Him. Set Him apart. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Set the Lord apart in your hearts. Know what He's done for you. Don't let the turmoil and strife in this world overweigh the weight of His glory. Sanctify Him in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You know, that verse tells me that nobody's going to ask of the hope that's in you if you're not walking in a hopeful way. They have to see it to ask it about you. We're to be walking in a hopeful way because we know what He's done. We know who walks with us. We know who our Savior is. We know how strong He is. Walk in a hopeful way. That way, when they ask the reason that the hope's in you, you can be ready always to give an answer to every man. Each person that asks you. And that can come in the macro or micro, like we talked about earlier. That can be Christians as a country. We can be ready to answer. That can be Christians as a whole. That can be this church, this community. We can be ready to answer when they ask. Because they see it within us. They see that light shining. That can be one-on-one, every man that asks you, a literal conversation, and that can be within yourself. When you face that trial, be ready to answer. When you feel that persecution, dig down and know who is there and know where your strength is and know what He's done. Have that hope. Whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ, your manner of life, your conversations, the way you walk with hope, the way you go through each day, the way you face the trials at work, the people that don't like the way you walk because you're a Christian. The people that don't like, that will talk down at you, that may make fun of you, that will do whatever because you're not going out with them on the weekends, or because you're not going out and acting crazy, right? Because you will get that, especially young people. I know how it is. You know, I'm right there still. There are those who, why won't you just sow your wild oats right now? You can settle down and do all this stuff the rest of your life. No. No. Because I have a hope. I'm suffering for Christ's sake. I know who the Savior is. I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. And the way that most of the world's living right now isn't following Christ. Follow after Him. Rejoice in your suffering. And if you would, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." That's similar to the thing we read before. There's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. The faithful Creator, God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will, with the temptation also, make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. That ye may be able to bear it. There's not any temptation in this life that's going to face us on any of the levels, Christians, church, self, within yourself, that are going to be too much to bear. It is never too much to bear because God is faithful. Because we have a faithful Creator who will never leave. The things that He has done for us, the death that Jesus died on the cross, is faithful. It's for us. Why do we love God? Because God loved us first. He loved us first. He's faithful. Despite what we've done, He's faithful. Even though we may make a wrong decision over here and start walking in the wrong way, but we turn back, He hasn't forgotten us and left us there. He's faithful. Who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now there's that ye may be able to bear it. Holds a lot of weight in that verse. Because it's not just a way to escape that it's all gone. It's not ending it right now so it'll be all gone. Because that's never the solution. It's, we will be able to bear it. It's never going to be too much because our Creator is faithful. And I hope that we could carry these things with us, that we may keep that eternal perspective. Because we live in a fallen world and it's getting worse. However, that shouldn't deter us from our path of righteousness, to seek after, to be Christians, to be followers of Christ. We shouldn't just give up because it's getting bad. And because the country looks bad doesn't mean that Christians should cower down. And because we may not see the fruits of our faithfulness in this life doesn't mean that they're not going to happen, because the Creator is faithful. Follow after Him. Our temporary sufferings are nothing in comparison to the perfection that is to come. Walk after Him. Seek after Him in our lives. Be lights. You're the light of the world. You know, I mean, there's so many things that, I mean, it's one of the fundamentals of Christian living. However, it rocks us to our core so often. So many valleys, it seems. So often we grow cold. So often the weight of the world seems too much on us, because our flesh is weak. But the Creator is faithful. But we have a strong Savior. Romans chapter 8, there's nothing that can separate us from the love. Nothing. And it goes through and lists, and we can turn there and you can read it if you need to, but we'll go through all those things, and it covers everything. There's nothing. There is no temptation. There is no trial. There is nothing that's too much for us to bear. we have the ultimate Savior. He's too strong to let that bring us all the way down. We can bear it. There's a way to escape. There is hope. I pray that we, on every level, just continue to walk following after the Creator, God, that is faithful, that we will not cower, that we will take up our crosses daily, be courageous, because the suffering in this world and the trials and tribulations you'll face yourself with other people and within yourself are never going to be too much to bear. Never. Praise God for what He's done for you. For eternity's sake, what He's done for you on the cross in His perfection. But that He's also our rock and our hiding place as we walk through this time. I pray that on every level, we individually and we as Christians will continue to walk in a faithful way, and that we will just have the strength, and that this message this morning may have encouraged you in a way to continue to walk, and hopefully to get out of the valleys like I was in, you know, to show the weight of His glory as well, that He is more than anything that we face in this life. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.